Now, back in August, when Catherine was in the chair here, she spoke to a woman called Margaret Leahy. Margaret had put up a picture on Twitter of the five clocks in her on her kitchen wall, four of the clocks representing each of her four children, James, Ian, Niamh and Aisling. And each clock had the time zone in which they lived. She really struck a chord with people that then became a social media sensation overnight. So, and now Margaret's back in our Galway studio. How are you doing, Margaret?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Social media sensation.
Oh, wow. I must add that to my CV.
Great to talk to you. Great to talk to you.
You too, Ray.
Thank you. So where are the clocks at the moment? What time zones are they at?
Two of them are on New York time. So currently James and Niamh are in, well, James in New York, Niamh is in Florida, Ian is in Vancouver, and Aisling is on Dublin time.
Ah, all right. So there you go. And then you have one, obviously, to tell the normal time.
So you have two clocks.
No, you have two pairs of clocks telling the same time.
Yes.
Is Vancouver on a different time zone?
It is, yeah. Vancouver's different.
Okay.
So it keeps track of it,
Okay. You just remind us then, you were here in August and the reaction was quite powerful. You must have been taken aback by just putting up a simple photograph and the reaction it got.
I was actually, and I didn't expect it. I mean, my kids still laugh. Mam went viral, you know. I think it really struck a chord with so many people, Ray, who haven't seen family because of the restrictions on travel. Mm. And like a lot of other countries, a lot of our families travel and people live abroad all the time. And I think the fact that we had taken it for granted, oh yeah, I can hop over and see whoever, or I can go here, there and everywhere. And suddenly that was taken away overnight. Mm. And not only was it taken away overnight, but it continued for a very, very long time. I mean, you still actually, I can still travel to America if I wanted to. My daughter was born there, which is why she's over there at the moment. She can travel freely. But I think so many families were in the same situation. We're missing adult children who were living abroad. And, you know, when people used to talk about travel, it was always about going on holidays, which is great. But for a lot of people like myself and for hundreds of thousands of other families, it was just about seeing family, you know, and it was so important.
Let's remind people about your situation. So how many of the children were born in the States?
Just one, just Niamh.
Just Niamh.
We went out with two. We went out with the two boys and came back with two boys and a girl.
Okay. And John, your husband, died when?
2010, November 2010.
Okay, yeah. You're coming up to the 11th anniversary of his death. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had a big birthday this year, as Ronan Collins calls them, a roundy birthday.
A roundy birthday. Yes. I was 60 in March.
Okay, you celebrated in August with everybody. Everybody's home for that, were they?
Yeah, they were all home. We had a 60 and a half birthday party.
Lovely.
And my four were home, and we had also their partners. My eldest son actually has been married since he was last home. He got married in Mexico. And also I had family and friends, and we had a bit of a party. And it was just so good to have people in the house and chat and crack. It was fantastic, Ray. I mean, I'll never take that for granted again. I can tell you.
Yeah. And a bit of noise. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was great. Yeah. I mean, and I did the whole mammy put the pan down in the morning with the breakfast and everything else. But it was just wonderful to have adult, and they're all adults, obviously. But you know, to have adult conversation, to have people in the house, because during most of lockdown, it was me and the dog. You know, and it was tough going, but it was fantastic to have them home.
And that part of your story struck a chord as well, because I know you didn't spend much time talking to Catherine about it, but it struck Neil, who works on the show, because you spoke about the loneliness of lockdown, and you're a widow of 11 years, we've established that. So we wanted to talk to you about that and about travelling on your own, because you've good tips and your first experience. Can you remember the first time you decided to go on a holiday on your own?
Yeah, so a couple of years after John died, I had been on a few holidays. I brought the two girls to Barcelona, and I went with a few girlfriends to a sun holiday, but it just wasn't me. So I decided in 2014, I saw a holiday called Weaving by the Sea.
Right.
And I went, okay, right. And it was about basket weaving in a lovely seaside place in Spain. And I thought, okay, I've done a bit of basket weaving with a wonderful man called Joe Hogan in Loch na Fuí. I said, sure, I'll try that. I mean, it'd be something to do during... I'm not a sit-on-a-lounger type person, Ray, you know? Mm. So I said I'd give it a go. That was 2014, and organised myself, and I flew to Barcelona, and I was like, Asher, I'm great, I'm a dimity, and the whole lot. And I got off the plane and went to find the bus, and I literally went, what am I doing? I can't do this. I don't know what bus to get. And it was that, you know, when you're travelling with somebody, it's that, so, John, will we take that bus or that bus? Or, you know, where does that one stop? Or, or even to ask somebody, will you mind the bags till I go ask somebody or whatever? And I remember standing there going, I can't do this. I'm going to get back on the plane. I'll try and get a flight home. And I really had quite the, you know, conversation with myself. And eventually I thought, no, if you do that now, you'll regret it. You won't go anywhere else. Just, you know, just pull yourself together.
It was a big deal, though. It was a big deal.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. And a lot bigger than I thought when I was planning it. I kind of thought, oh, sure, it's only Spain. It's whatever. But as I say, it's having that kind of backup, or it's simple things like, you know, you need someone to mind your bag while you go to the loo. You know, it's simple things.
Yeah. All these things we take for granted. And oftentimes, although you defer to John or Mary or whoever your partner is, you probably would know how to do it anyway, but you just defer to them out of habit or whatever, but they're not there then, and then suddenly you go, oh, I'm on my own, and it brings it home to you that you're on your own. But you managed, you got the bus and you ended up weaving. That was great, because that was the beginning of a number of holidays on your own.
Absolutely, it was great, and I discovered a few things. I found that it was good to have kind of activities planned and that, and also it was the start of my realising, you know, if you travel solo, you really have to make the effort. No one's going to come up to you and start talking to you. So you have to make the effort. So like the following year, then I went to Iceland, and I went in June, which most people don't go in June because it's not, you know, Iceland, but actually it's fabulous in the summertime. And I was in a restaurant one night, and I was trying to look at the menu, which had fish I'd never heard of. And there was a couple close to me, and they were discussing the menu. And I kind of leaned over and said, well, when you figure out what fish is fish, can you let me know? I was kind of joking, you know? Yeah. And we ended up having the best of crack, you know? But you do have to make the effort, Ray. And sometimes it's not received well, which is fine. You just walk away. And it's not easy. People say to me, oh, you're very outgoing, you're grand. But every time you do it, you do have to go, okay, come on, do this now. Come on.
Well, I suppose people are listening at home who might be in a similar situation to yourself, but they're listening to you and they're going, well, that woman is on the radio, national radio, and she's talking away as if she was having a chat in the kitchen. So that's not me. So I wouldn't be able to do what she does. Do you see what I'm saying? So
completely.
Yeah. So what tips have you got? And I suppose it'll be a bit heartening for people to know that on your first holiday that you nearly gave up. And that's probably heartening, because it is a big deal. So you have to make the move.
Yeah, you have to make the move. And I think, you know, you have to be open to whatever comes your way, and be, even if you're not feeling very confident, I think you kind of have to put best foot forward and put yourself out there as being confident. Yeah. And I also think activities are great, Ray. So whether you go somewhere and you go on a bus tour, or whether you, like even last year now when we couldn't travel abroad, I was down in Cork and Kerry. I did a day's cookery in the Dingle Cookery School, or I went out kayaking at night time.
Yeah.
You know, and they're all opportunities to meet more people and to chat. And, you know, it's not easy, but I'll tell you, I've met the most wonderful people. I've had great crack. And even, I mean, I went to Mexico City for a few days on my own a few years ago, one of the biggest, most dangerous cities
in the world.
And I was on a bus tour, and they were asking where everyone was from, and I said Irlande, and this guy in front of me said Johnny Sexton, and I'm like, okay, and he was French. Now I don't know a huge amount about rugby, but I knew enough to start a conversation with him. And we ended up having loads of conversations on the tour. So it's about being open to opportunities, but also recognising that if you say something and it's not received well, just walk away. Don't, you know. And the other thing, Ray, is I think sometimes people say to me, well, you know, do you want lifelong friends out of this? That couple I was talking to in Iceland, we exchanged first names. There was no, oh, give me your email and I'll WhatsApp you.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. It is in the moment. And be open. I just think for me, it's about being open.
So you met John when you were 15.
Yeah.
You were married at 22.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were 49 when John died.
And died, yeah.
Yeah. So he was your, you know, childhood sweetheart, the love of your life, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So in the last 11 years, were you looking for love?
I'm not sure looking is... It's a bit like what I said. I'm open to things.
Right.
I mean, you know, I've dated or whatever. And I think that
How did that go for you?
Oh, we could do a whole other show on that, Ray.
Right.
Believe me, we could do a whole other show.
I'm thinking from what you're saying that we, as in men, don't come out of it too well.
Well, it's funny. I think that by the time the men I've met who are in their late 50s or whatever, they've either got very settled, if I'm honest, or they're gone mad with the Lycra on the bikes or whatever. I mean, and I've actually met very few who want to travel. I mean, I don't want to be gone all the time, but I want a little bit of crack and a bit of going.
Yes,
so.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you know, dating in your 50s and now 60s is a whole other ball game, I can tell you. But I'm open to meeting people.
I imagine there are a lot more people out there, you know, since the introduction of divorce and all that sort of thing. And we've become a different country over the last 20 or 30 years. So that the people know there is an out, if you like. And then, of course, there's people like yourself who are widowed. But there are more people around of that age looking for a partner.
Completely, Ray. But the difficulty is, where do you meet? So,
you
know...
Well, you tell me. Where do you meet?
Well, believe me, it's not on Tinder.
Okay? No.
And it is difficult, actually.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I go out tonight in Galway and I go into a bar or whatever, I've no idea what men there are single. They don't know if I'm single.
Yeah.
So it is much more difficult when you're older. You're not in a... I mean, back in the day when I was going out with John, it was, you know, you'd go to the disco or the hop. God forgive me, I'll go way back now.
Oh, yeah,
the hop.
Then it became a record hop, didn't it?
Yes.
And then it became a disco. Yeah.
But, you know, you were there and you were all dancing or whatever. It is more difficult.
Mm.
And probably a lot of people that I've met were introduced to me by friends of mine.
Mm.
So that's definitely... But there's no magic bullet, I don't think, when you get that bit more mature, we'll say.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. Where have you been most recently?
Well, Spain, so for the last 2 years, I was kind of snookered. Spain,
yes.
I was in Spain last week, actually weaving by the sea again, purely coincidental 7 years on. Last year, I spent a wonderful 3 weeks doing Cork, Kerry and Clare, including I spent the most magical nights, 2 nights on the Blaskets, which was, fantastic. I love our islands. I go to Cape Clare and loads of different islands. I was to go to the Galapagos this year. That was my 60th trip. But of course, that's gone and probably gone for next year, too, the way things are only slowly opening up. So Galapagos 23 will be the big one.
That's a big trip. And why did you choose that?
I started bird watching when I was about 8 or 9. I have a huge interest in nature.
What do you call a twitcher? Is that a twitcher?
Twitcher, that's for
people
who tick out things.
Yeah.
And actually, I got into it on Cape Clear Island where there's a bird observatory. That's how I got into it first. And I just love the idea of seeing the frigate birds and the booby birds and the turtles and just being in that environment really, really attracts me. And my mom always wanted to go. Unfortunately, she passed away in 2019 and didn't get there. But it's a huge trip. It's an expensive trip.
Mm.
So I want to do it right. So I'm going to probably wait till 23. So I might do a few European things next year. Maybe, you know, Rome, maybe Italy, maybe Netherlands. Who knows?
Yeah, let's see what they're saying here. Just listen to Margaret there. I travelled last month to see my children in the US, but I had to travel to Mexico first and spend 14 days there and then entered the US. The customs and immigration fella asked me a few questions and didn't check anything except my Irish passport. Then he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Dublin." And he said, "Have you met Conor McGregor?"
Right.
"I'm a widow and travel on my own too and was interested to hear your experiences travelling alone. We should start a club," says Dolores. Now, love the piece on single travel, says Anna. "I'm also a widow, 6 years, and I've pushed myself to go on trips alone until COVID. I wonder, are there others out there who'd like to form a group?" See, there you know. Fair play to Margaret for travelling alone. "I tried it once. I found the evenings very lonely."
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well.
Yeah.
Going into a restaurant and say, you know, a table for one.
Completely.
Yeah.
The evenings are tough, Ray, and the table for one, by the way, is usually by the toilet door, I have to say, you know. And I've actually kind of put my foot down a few times and said, no, actually, I don't want that table, you know. And actually that, I mean, I was telling about the situation when I met a couple in Iceland, that actually got much more difficult in the last 2 years with COVID because tables are further apart. And you can't really have this. I found that last year when I was travelling in Ireland, and it is more difficult to have the conversations. Plus, like, you can't hit the bar and talk to the person serving the bar.
No,
you know.
No.
So evenings are tough. And what, again, if there's something. So, you know, when I did a day's Mexican cooking that day when I was in Mexico City, and two of the people on that were staying nearby my hotel, and I said, well, what are you doing tonight? And we all had dinner that night. It's the evenings are tough. But again, you know, and it people, is what it is.
I think that people don't think about, Margaret, is that if you have somebody with you, dinner can last for 2 hours, 2.5 mm-hmm. hours. When you're on your own, it passes annoyingly quickly, doesn't it?
Completely. And I also think, I mean, I love good food. I'm a bit of a, I hate the word expression foodie, but I love good food and good restaurants.
Yeah.
And I do find that part of that experience is the chat about the menu.
Yeah.
The, oh, can I try yours and you try mine?
Yeah.
So I'm inclined to maybe not do a lot of the restaurants I'd love to do unless I had someone to go with, to be honest with you. It is better that way. But I've also found another tip, by the way, a book is much more is better than a phone if you're dining on your own to start a conversation, because someone can, it happened to me last year in Liston Varn, and someone said, oh, what are you reading?
And we
ended up having a great conversation.
Yes, yes.
Whereas when you have your phone, your face buried in the phone, it's not as easy to start the conversation.
That's a good tip. Just on the meals and all that, you said something that really knocked me for six there when you were talking to Neil. When you're finished the coffee with your friends, that's it. It's over.
Yeah, a friend of mine said that to me about a year after John died. I met her for coffee and she's like, you have to remember that when you finish something, it's over. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, the two of us have had coffee and we're both going home. And I can't say to anybody, I met Margaret for coffee and she's doing great, or she got her hair done, or whatever it is. When you do something, it's over. There's nobody to discuss it with. There's nobody. And that is tough. Yeah. I mean, when I came home from Spain last week, I'd have loved to have had someone at home and say, oh, wait till I tell you, I met this woman from Germany and she was great crack or whatever, you know. So that is, But, you know, Ray, John was 54 when he died suddenly. I'm 60. I've already lived 6 years more than him. I'm making the most of every minute of it.
Okay, yeah. I had the pleasure of meeting Margaret on a quilting weekend in Leitrim recently.
That's true, yeah.
That's Catherine there. I'm a widow too and missed the trips. Never had the nerve to go solo. 15 years a widow, says Maeve. And the opposite side is, I love travelling alone, says this person, but I've never mastered approaching people for chats. I can't do it. I'm too shy.
Yeah.
I'm single and feel like I miss out on the world and travel because I'm not in a relationship, says that person. And if she wanted to come to Portugal to view all the birds, I have a place in Tavira. Tavira, and I could show her around. I also lead a winter walking group there and she could join us on that and would meet loads of people. That's Dolores. And she should do a podcast. I'd listen to her all day. Fab, says that person. There you go. I remember that clock story. I have two children in Australia. I've been meaning to get two more clocks since I heard her chat. Una, they're hard to come by, clocks. I was in the market for a clock recently and it took me three goes.
Well, you're not getting any of mine,
Ray. It took me three goes back and forth. That's the truth. Your man goes to me back again. I said, yeah, he said, third time lucky. And I said, don't worry, I won't be back for a fourth time.
Third time lucky? Yeah.
Congrats. Oh, yeah, that's that. Yeah, so yeah, you're sort of an inspiration, but I suppose the worry is, again, I'll say it, is that people hear you and they don't hear themselves in you, if you know what I mean. And that you know, because they'll say, well, she's different than me. She can talk on national radio.
But the thing is, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, that's a perception. People hear me, people see me, but people who know me know that I have those moments of huge doubt. I have those days when, you know, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go anywhere. You know, nobody is all of what we see.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we put out a public face, I suppose.
And it's an effort. And I have made the choice that I can either stay at home or I can go out and about. And whether it's quilting in Leitrim, which was great crack, by the way. I'm going
or basket weaving in Spain. Well, what's your next one?
I'm going down, to, believe it or not, for the first time ever, I'm going to the Wexford Opera Festival.
Ah.
I've never been to an opera.
Do you have to dress? You know,
Oh God, I haven't even got to that yet.
Yeah, I think you do. I think it's a black tie and all that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I look into that, but yeah. I've never been to an opera, so why not? But
there you go. Do you still miss John on a daily basis?
It's different. You miss doing things, or you miss having, as I say, that company. Or I mean, sometimes it's grand, and then you'll hear a song on the radio, or somebody will say something, or you'll pick up something, and it brings it back very suddenly. And yeah. It's hard to describe living with loss like that. It's not, you don't go around all day feeling terribly sad, though I did in the beginning. But now it's just, you know, I mean, even when I had the party in August, or when James got married, you know, you want that other person there to say, yeah. Oh my God, James got married. Yeah. Da-da-da-da. You know, James and Natalie. And yeah. I miss him in different ways every day. Yeah. And, you know, but as I say, I had a wonderful life with him, and for that I'm very grateful. And
you have four children, James, Ian, Eve, and Aisling. Yes,
They're fantastic. They're just fantastic.
Any sign of them coming back home, or are they gone for good, do you
think?
Well,
it's hard to know. I mean, who does anything for good? I mean, as I say, we lived in America. We went out for a year. We said we'd go out for a year. We got Donnelly visas back in the day. And we went out for a year and we stayed for seven. I mean, I didn't expect to stay for seven.
Yeah.
So who knows? That's the thing about life and everything, Ray. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen when I leave the studio here in Galway.
Well, thanks so much for coming in. And one of your four children has been on, listening to my mammy in work and beaming with pride. She's a powerhouse and we're so proud of her. Lots of love
that's
from Daughter Aisling and all the gang. Margaret's an inspiration. I haven't been widowed 13 years. I've never taken a trip alone. Maybe this will be the start, says Mairead. You might have inspired her. And I too have travelled alone in my 60s. I'd love to meet with others to potentially travel together. And add me in. So there's a potential here. There's something happening here.
I have my tour company started already.
Oh, you see.
No, well, I'm joking.
You should.
There's definitely something in it, yeah.
Yeah. Leahy Travel has a nice ring to it.
There you go.
There you go. 5%, please. Thank you very much. Okay. Margaret, have a good weekend. And thanks
too,
so much.
Ray.
It was a real
thanks
pleasure talking to you. Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.